Hello, and welcome to Line One, your health connection. I'm your host, Dr. Justin Clark. Today on Line One, we will be discussing the ancient art of acupuncture and herbal medicine. Acupuncture is the practice of penetrating the skin with thin, solid, metallic needles, which are then activated through gentle and specific movements of the practitioner's hands, or sometimes with electrical stimulation. The use of acupuncture and alternative medicine techniques has greatly increased over the last several decades in the United States. While the technique is ancient, the applications are very modern and provide a safe, gentle, non-surgical, and non-pharmaceutical way to stimulate the body to heal and live pain-free. The most common use of acupuncture in the U.S. is for pain, such as back, joint, and neck pain. Other conditions that acupuncture can treat are headaches, irritable bowel syndrome, fibromyalgia, depression, asthma, smoking cessation, and women's health like infertility, menstrual pain, menopause support, and pregnancy-related pain. It should also be noted that acupuncture and herbal medicine is most often used in combination with Western medicine. Today, I am pleased to be joined by Rachel Delaney from Midnight Sun Acupuncture. You can also be a part of this conversation. If you have a question or a comment, call us toll-free statewide at 1-888-353-5752. 1-888-353-5752. In Anchorage at 907-550-8433. 907-550-8433. Or email us at line1@alaskapublic.org. Rachel, it is wonderful to have you on the show today. I'm really pleased to be talking about this topic. So thank you for joining us.
Me today.
Awesome. So I want to give you an opportunity to first talk to the listeners and tell us a little bit about yourself, how you got into acupuncture, and you know what your focus is.
Yeah, so I kind of started off working at a hospital at a very young age, kind of working in different places in the hospital, mostly starting off at the front desk. But I've always had kind of a medicine background. And I actually suffered from headaches, from migraines, and I had used various forms of Western medicine, different medications that helped me a lot. But my doctor, my regular physician recommended that I get some acupuncture. And so I did. And it helped me tremendously. It changed my perspective on medicine, actually. It helped me, it helped my migraines a lot. It helped me reduce the amount of medication I actually needed to take. And it helped improve my quality of life because I just didn't have to live with as many migraines as I had. So that's kind of where my beginning started in learning about acupuncture and herbal medicine and just natural medicine.
That's great. And then what sort of training did you pursue after you decided this was something you wanted to do?
So I decided to actually look into going to acupuncture school, and it looked like I did need some undergrad. So getting like, you know, a bachelor's and something to be able to go on to graduate school. And I went on to go to CSTCM in Colorado to get my master's degree in acupuncture and herbal medicine. And that was a 4-year program.
Great. So training for to become an acupuncturist is generally a 4-year training program?
It's 2 to 4 years. So if you also add the herbal component to it, yeah, it's generally around 4 years, even if you don't add the herbal component to it. But it can be a little bit faster than that, depending on the program. But yeah, usually 4 years for most acupuncture programs.
Okay. Well, it's wonderful to have you up here doing this. There's a lot of terms that get thrown around, and you know, remember, my background, of course, is Western medicine, so I don't have a great context of what you do, and I'm interested to learn more about it. But I hear terms like acupuncture, alternative medicine, herbal medicine, Eastern medicine, traditional Chinese medicine. What's the proper terminology? Or what do you recommend using?
You know, I think right now that's very, it's a little bit controversial because even, I graduated in 2015. And when I graduated, it was, my degree was in Oriental medicine. And now that's kind of, they want to move away from the word Oriental. So honestly, you know, I can't really say what the proper like verbiage is because I think we're still like trying to figure that out as a community, honestly. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, just saying acupuncture, any of those terms actually, I think are just fine. But yeah, I think like as a community as a whole, we're still trying to figure out like what the proper verbiage is. So I think, yeah, acupuncture, alternative medicine, you know, maybe natural medicine is a good way to describe it for now.
Okay. And we're going to go into acupuncture in more detail too, but what is the herbal medicine component? Like what is the training? What is the focus of herbal medicine?
The focus of herbal medicine, actually kind of goes hand in hand with acupuncture, but I would say that, you know, a lot of the herbal medicines can be very profound. And if you're talking about the training, we do also have to learn a lot about Western medications and how they interact with herbal medications. And so just to be very careful and also wanting to work with another person's provider if they're seeing, you know, their general practitioner and maybe they are taking some other medications. There is extensive training in that as well with the program. Like we do have to know, you know, contraindications with Western medications. And so that is definitely emphasized and important in our practice and in the programs that teach the medicine as well. Unfortunately, you know, in Alaska and around a lot of other states, there's just not a lot of regulations around it, as you probably know. There's really no regulations around herbal medicines or supplements in America. So that's also still kind of a gray area, I think, for some patients that come in. But I would say as a practitioner who learned about it, they do go into great detail as far as teaching us what could be a contraindication or, you know, could potentially be bad to interact with another medication, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, sure. We can get into some specifics too. To be an acupuncturist in Alaska and also, I guess, in the U.S. and maybe different state to state, but is it a licensed field? Is there,
yes.
Is it regulated?
Yes. So as far as acupuncture goes, it is licensed. It is regulated. We do have to take a board exam, which includes Western medicine. It includes biomedicine. And that also includes, you know, if someone were to come in to see me and, you know, maybe they have a red flag for a stroke or something, you know, like those are things that we are trained to look for. And also our board exams, I would say our board exams can be pretty difficult. You can only take them 3 times. And then if in an entire lifetime, if you fail them 3 times, you can never become an acupuncturist in America. And I don't think all board exams are set up that way. I know, for like chiropractors, they can take it unlimited times and they could still be a chiropractor. It is very regulated here.
Okay. Interesting. I want to give our listeners our phone numbers again. If they have a question for Rachel on acupuncture, the phone number to call if you're calling statewide is 1-888-353-5752. In the Anchorage area, 907-550-8433. Or email me line1 with one spelled out, O-N-E, at alaskapublic.org. So, Rachel, before we get into like the ins and outs of acupuncture, kind of like how you're doing it, what you're doing it for, there's a lot of theory. There's a lot of philosophy behind it. I wondered if you wouldn't mind going into that for me a little bit and for our listeners, like how exactly, I don't know a better way to put this, but, you know, how does it work? Like, what's the theory behind it?
Okay. So I want to go into a little bit of kind of the Western theory behind it, because, you know, a lot of the acupuncture stuff that we learn, although I think it's extremely interesting, some of it is just really confusing. So I really want to talk about kind of what our body is doing with acupuncture. So the reason why, like, a lot of people will look up acupuncture to see what it treats, a lot of times it'll be kind of a vague answer, or you'll find different answers, because the thing that acupuncture is really working on in the body is our autonomic nervous system, you know, our sympathetic and parasympathetic, which is our fight or flight, or our rest and digest. And if we're in the fight or flight, which we usually get into if we're in any type of pain, that can make it harder for our bodies to do normal functions, just like sleeping and going to the bathroom normally. And so those things also affect how we heal. Because if we're in the parasympathetic, we can rest and digest, and our body says, oh, okay, we can heal now. And so what acupuncture, where it really, really shines, is it helps our body get out of the fight or flight, get out of the sympathetic nervous system response. And so that can also help so much with pain relief, because it also stimulates your body to release really good hormones like oxytocin and serotonin, you know, those feel-good hormones that kind of combat the pain response that we get from the fight or flight.
Interesting. So
that's kind of in it and in a nutshell of how I've learned and how I perceive acupuncture working at the very basic level.
Okay, so the autonomic nervous system is composed of the sympathetic and the parasympathetic. Like you said, the sympathetic stimulates that fight or flight response when we're stressed out, our heart rate goes up, you get anxious, you know, you're like you're running away from a bear or something, right?
Exactly.
And then the parasympathetic is the opposite, that lets the body, like you said, rest, digest, recover. And so what you're saying is that, by releasing hormones, things like oxytocin, serotonin, dopamine, things that medications also can do. This is a way that you are stimulating it through acupuncture instead of pharmaceuticals.
Correct.
Okay. And the goal is to get out of that fight or flight, that stress response, and allow the body to heal itself.
Exactly. Exactly. And so I could talk to you about so many different examples, but where I really see this happen quickly is probably after somebody has surgery. So like if somebody has a knee surgery or a hip surgery, their body will go into the fight or flight, because that's major trauma that your body's going through. And, you know, you can't just think your way out of fight or flight. It's an automatic response that your body does. But if I give people, you know, treatments after surgery, and their body, it can stimulate their body to get out of the fight or flight, they can heal a lot more quickly. And you can really see that measurably. And so that's just one good example that I see clinically, where I can positively say that person definitely got out of the fight or flight, you know, and even if it's just for that little bit of time that they're in the chair and they're able to sleep for that hour that they're getting the acupuncture treatment, that can really, really help with their healing, especially if they went through a full night of restless sleep. Mm-hmm. And that didn't even give their time enough. They didn't give their body enough time to heal. So that's just one really good example that I see clinically with that.
Okay. And when I was doing reading about this, there's a lot of terms that come up, a little different than the philosophy, but maybe the Eastern idea mm-hmm. of how things work rather than the Western. The Western would be what we discuss, like, oh, it's yes. we can explain this because yeah. it's parasympathetic and yes. sympathetic. Yes, but the Eastern is a little bit different. You know, the philosophy, the way that they see the body working is very different. So there was the term qi, I believe. Can you tell me, like, what is qi and how does that help with healing?
So qi is basically, it's such an umbrella word. It's just like, some people will use the word qi and energy interchangeably, because it's kind of a vague word. To me, qi is a way for us to explain how the acupuncture was working in the body when we didn't know what it was doing thousands of years ago. But I will say that I do still use Eastern medicine when I'm doing the acupuncture, because that's the best way that it works, by using the meridians and the five elements. And so basically qi is our energy force in our body. And sometimes that gets out of balance. And so if you're thinking about like just getting into our blood pressure, for example, if our blood pressure is really high, that's out of balance, or we're not in homeostasis, I think is a good word also. I think that balancing with acupuncture is similar or the same as putting our body back into homeostasis. So if we're in homeostasis, we're not in the fight or flight anymore. And so when we're using the word qi, we're looking at different parts of the body in the different elements, and we're seeing what we're observing is very minute in the body. So we might like feel your pulses or look at your tongue, and we might observe different things about that seem very small. And but just like Western medicine, we're getting all these clues and all this information, right? Like we're taking blood pressure, we're taking people's temperature, we're weighing them, we're doing all these different blood tests, right? Mm-hmm. So in acupuncture, we do the same things, but in a different way. Like we're measuring the body's qi by asking you a lot of questions, and by looking at you, by feeling you, by observing you. And so those are all things that we also do in Western medicine, right? But we do it in a different way. We measure it in a different way. And so really, when we're talking about qi, we're talking about the energy in your body, whether you have low energy or maybe you have excess energy in a spot, which sounds probably weird for Western medicine. But if you think of excess energy, you're thinking of like, yeah, high blood pressure, or, you know, maybe somebody who has excess weight, you know, that's kind of an excess amount of something, an excess amount of energy, okay. quote unquote. But so, yeah, using the word qi, sometimes, you know, it's a vague kind of a way catch-all. Of explaining something. Yeah, it's kind of a catch-all. It's really vague, but it's also important to us as far as looking at somebody and diagnosing them with how we would treat with the acupuncture needles themselves and what meridians we would choose. And how we would, it's very detailed to each individual person. So each person has different areas in their body that might be stuck or might be, weak or might be in excess. And so that's kind of how we look at using those particular things in the body. So it's not, it's, you know, I don't want to say that it is scientific, but to me it is, because we use the same, you know, we use diagnostic tools, and based on those diagnostics, we will use certain points, and we don't change that just based on what we think, just like Western medicine. You know, we're not changing the baseline of blood pressure of 120 over 80. We're using that baseline. So it's kind of similar in that way.
Okay. Well, we're going to take a quick short break here. And when we come back, we're going to, I'm going to ask you a little bit about the meridians and the five elements, and then how, you know, how you're doing the acupuncture, the actual techniques. You're listening to Line One, your health connection. If you have a question or a comment for our guest today, call us statewide at 1-888-353-5752. 1-888-353-5752, or in Anchorage at 907-550-8433. 907-550-8433. After this short break, we'll continue our discussion on acupuncture and alternative medicine with Rachel Delaney.
You're listening to Line One from Alaska Public Media. You can find Line One on alaskapublic.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Alaska needs more quality, licensed childcare providers. If you're interested in starting a childcare business, connect with threadalaska.org for support and guidance. There are several resources to get licensed and launched in Alaska. A licensed facility opens doors and opportunities for the business owner and creates a safer, more engaged place for children. You can make a lasting difference in the lives of children and their families. This message sponsored by THREAD.
Welcome back to Line One, your health connection. I'm your host, Dr. Justin Clark. I'm joined today by Rachel Delaney from Midnight Sun Acupuncture. If you have a question or a comment, call us toll-free statewide at 1-888-353-5752. 1-888-353-5752. In Anchorage at 907-550-8433. That's 907-550-8433. Or email us at line1@alaskapublic.org. Rachel, we have a few calls coming in here. We're just going to give that a minute to get connected. But in the meantime, talk to me a little bit about meridians. You mentioned meridians, and I'm not familiar with that term. I'd love to know how that fits into the acupuncture.
Okay, so kind of going along with the talk about chi earlier too, the meridians on the body, I kind of look at them as highways on the body. And what we kind of look for is we look for areas of stuck chi. And that's kind of the way that we look for those is what I was talking about earlier, is we kind of, you know, look, listen, and feel and talk to you about your symptoms. And that's kind of the way that we choose the different meridians and decide which ones might be a little bit stuck, which ones could, you know, use a little bit more movement in them. And the different elements in the body, or the different elements are wind, water, fire, wood, and earth. And we correspond those to certain organs in the body. And the organs go with the kind of the highways that I was talking about. And so sometimes we'll be talking about, for example, like the stomach meridian. It doesn't mean that we're talking about the actual stomach per se, but sometimes it is. And actually, when we're treating those areas, we might be treating like a stomach issue, but we might not be treating a stomach issue at all. It's just a way that we've found that those different meridians will correspond with those certain organs.
Okay.
And, you know, yeah.
So a highway, is it like I'm thinking, just because my background in Western medicine, like a nerve pathways, you know, we have a nerve that runs from the brain. It runs all the way down your body to the foot.
Exactly.
Is it the same sort of thing, or it's not following strictly like a nerve pathway, but it's identifying a meridian pathway, or what is the highway? What is the pathway?
So I would say that if you look at the meridian pathways, they will kind of correspond mostly with the nervous system pathways and some of them will be kind of laid right on top of there. But as you also know, that most of our nerves run throughout our entire body. So it's not, I can't exactly say that, you know, it's exactly the same, but I will say that the acupuncture points will be very close to those areas. And that really is, if you talk to certain people, you know, we're really actually targeting the nervous system, like I said, not that we're trying to hit a nerve per se, but we are trying to get into that area and stimulate that part of the body, I believe.
Okay, well, we have a call coming in. Brenda is calling from Fairbanks. Brenda, welcome to Line One.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for the awesome conversation today. I wanted to ask your guest about mental health and how acupuncture can be helpful with that, and if we could be specific to maybe vertigo, with chronic acute vertigo, you know, living with it daily. And I'll listen offline. Thank you.
Thank you, Brenda. Rachel, we have a question about vertigo and mental health, I guess, and how they relate. Maybe depression related to that as well. Like, how would acupuncture, or is that something that acupuncture can work with? And how would you do
that? Yes, absolutely. I have definitely treated people with vertigo and depression. And I will say with vertigo, you know, it's definitely, there's a lot of different reasons why people could get vertigo. It can be an inner ear problem. It can be a nervous system problem. So it does depend on why you're having the vertigo. So sometimes acupuncture can help a lot, and sometimes it might not help, depending on, you know, if it's the inner ear problem, sometimes it's not as effective, but it still can be effective. I think a lot of people will do like the do different ways of helping with the inner ear problem. But going to the question of depression, acupuncture does really help a lot with depression too. And I think it kind of goes back to that fight or flight. I think sometimes, like with our emotions, that can set us, you know, into the fight or flight. And so if getting out of that can help you get out of that depression or maybe even anxiety, it can help a lot. So I have seen people get really good results with or without medication. So there's some people who will still get acupuncture and they're working with their doctor and they're on antidepressants and they're still coming in and getting acupuncture, because you can still get acupuncture and be on those medications and it can still also be beneficial. So I hope that is helpful.
Sure. Well, let's just take an example of vertigo that's not inner ear, you know, vertigo, or someone's coming into your office and complaining of vertigo. Like, what would be the approach? Like, what would you necessarily do to either diagnose or treat or add in herbals? Like, how would you approach it?
Yeah. So I would go through all of the questions, kind of look at your entire health history, And ask you a lot of questions that seem kind of arbitrary, that kind of go with Chinese medicine. And I would see what your what's your main, I guess, out of balance is. So we all have different meridians that are out of balance. And so I would see what that is, and we would just give you a treatment based on that. And yeah, I mean, usually the way that somebody would come in, and it's a pretty long, lengthy kind of talking and me getting to know you. But it really is so that we can devise a plan that's really tailored to each person.
Okay. And you mentioned when we talked before that the most common thing that you treat is pain. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, let's talk a little bit about that, because I think, you know, that is a chronic issue in life in the U.S. There's also a high rate of opioid use and pain medicine use that mm-hmm. we're constantly bombarded with as providers, of getting people off of opioids or reducing it, or you know, this morning is even having to do all this training on opioid use to get my DEA license that they've instituted nationwide. So there's like all this information out there, and I think acupuncture is a non-pharmaceutical way to treat pain, and I want to talk a little bit about that and how you're using acupuncture to treat pain.
Okay.
So what are the most common types of pain that you're seeing in your patients?
I would say the most common I see is a lot of lower back pain, probably a lot of shoulder pain, a lot of kind of chronic musculoskeletal pain. So I might see somebody with fibromyalgia, for example. That's a really good example for me, because as you know, fibromyalgia is just a chronic condition that can be kind of tricky one to treat with Western medicine sometimes. And so yeah, those are probably my top ones. Also, headaches is another big one that I see.
Yeah, I like the idea of fibromyalgia, because it's such a, mm-hmm. I mean, in Western medicine, there's plenty of people who believe it just doesn't exist at all.
Exactly.
That it's not a real condition. And then, of course, for mm-hmm. the people that feel or suffer from that, that's very challenging to accept. So let's just, for instance, someone comes in with fibromyalgia, like what would be the techniques that you would use for acupuncture to treat something like that?
So the techniques might vary depending on each person. Every person has their own comfort level. I would say with acupuncture, you know, it's not completely painless. But after we get started, and once we get all the pins in and we get you comfortable, you should be able to relax into it, and it should feel good. And so that can look different for every single person. But I will say, for every chronic condition, say somebody's lived with lower back pain for 10 years, or someone's had fibromyalgia for 5 years, you know, that's chronic. And with acupuncture, those usually require, you know, more visits in the beginning. And so that's typically, you know, people with chronic pain that's lived with it a little bit longer might expect to come into acupuncture, you know, at least once a week for a month or two in the very beginning, just to see how their body responds to it. And then after that, usually people can come less often, because it'll kind of stimulate their body to release those feel-good hormones kind of on its own a little bit better. And so kind of what I notice is people can come in a lot less often after kind of the first couple months. But yeah, that's usually what it looks like for different people. And usually for chronic conditions, that's sort of the time commitment you sure. would want to be looking at for acupuncture.
The longer someone's had, you know, some sort of condition, obviously the longer it may take to see improvement. in that.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And as far as the acupuncture itself, like I said, each person, it's going to look a little bit different. And you know, I can't speak for all acupuncturists, but I can say that we do want people to feel good when they come in. We want them to leave happy. And we want them to feel the benefits of the acupuncture, at least within, you know, the next few days. So there are times where people might leave an acupuncture treatment and they might be a little bit sore, but that should always be followed up with feeling better. And I would say we usually always want you to get into, because like I said, it stimulates your body to get into the rest and digest. It does that immediately. And so we want to be able to see that when you visit us. Okay. We want to be able to see you get calmer in the chair, because it does. It happens immediately.
That's
that part of it does.
That's very cool. So how big are the, you mentioned pins. You know, I've heard needles, pins, same
yeah,
sort
needles.
Of thing.
Yeah, but needles.
What?
Yeah.
Like how big are the needles?
So the needles, unlike, you know, like if you get an injection, they're filiform needles, so they don't have a hole in them at all. And so that makes them much, much smaller. And a regular 18-gauge hypodermic needle, you can fit like around 40 acupuncture needles inside of there. And so they're incredibly small. And a lot of times, you know, you can feel them. Sometimes you feel them, but a lot of the points you end up not really feeling too much because of how tiny they are.
Yeah, those are really tiny.
Yeah.
How far do they go in?
Also depends on what we're working on. So another form of acupuncture is where we kind of release trigger points in the muscle tissue. And so sometimes those can use a little bit bigger gauge because we want to actively release that muscle. And, you know, not all acupuncturists are doing that technique necessarily. And we don't do that every time either. It just depends. Like I said, it definitely depends on the individual person. But I would say for average acupuncture needles, it only goes in a couple millimeters, you know, a few millimeters on each point.
Okay. So it's pretty shallow, pretty small.
Pretty
needles.
Shallow.
Yeah.
Yes. Yep.
And these are one-time use needles, right? I think that does the FDA
yes.
regulate that?
Yeah. I think back in the 80s, they used to like, you know, re-sterilize them. But yeah, no, they're single use. We dispose of them. They're just one-time use.
And so how long do they typically stay in?
So what studies have shown is 30 minutes is ideal to kind of get the body to really get out of that fight or flight. And what we call in Eastern medicine, the chi cycle. So they say that it takes approximately 30 minutes for that to happen. And so my appointments are about an hour. And so people could expect to be in the chair kind of relaxing for about 45 minutes, but at least 30 minutes.
Okay. So they typically stay in around 30 minutes. And
but typically 45 minutes, but we want to do at least 30 minutes.
At least 30. Okay. Do people ever go home with the needles in, or is this something you remove by the time you come into the office?
Yep. You just come in, we put them in, make sure you're comfortable, and then let you relax. And then, you know, there might be other things that we do too. There's, you know, we might do some other talking. We might recommend some other things, maybe some cupping or something like that. But yeah, we just put them in and then at the end of the session, take them all out.
Got it.
And dispose of them.
Well, let's take our second short mid break, and then we'll talk a little bit more about acupuncture and other alternative medicine techniques. You're listening to Line One, your health connection. If you have a question or a comment for our guest today, call us statewide at 1-888-353-5752. 1-888-353-5752. or in Anchorage at 907-550-8433. 907-550-8433. After this short break, we'll continue our discussion on acupuncture and alternative medicine with Rachel Delaney.
You're listening to Line 1 from Alaska Public Media. You can find Line 1 on alaskapublic.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
What gives you strength? Strength comes from teaching the Alaskan way of life, getting wood, fishing, hunting, helping people in the community, and being an example for the next generation. If you have forgotten your strength, remember, there's hope, there's joy, there's love, there's peace everywhere. Share what gives you strength at recoveralaska.org/share-your-strength. This message sponsored by Recover Alaska.
Welcome back to Line 1, Your Health Connection. I'm your host, Dr. Justin Clark. I'm joined today by Rachel Delaney from Midnight Sun Acupuncture. If you have a question or a comment, call us toll-free statewide at 1-888-353-5752, 1-888-353-5752, or in Anchorage at 907-550-8433, 907-550-8433, or email us at line1@alaskapublic.org. Rachel, I have an email from Sherry who wants to know about pulses and what does taking pulses at the wrist tell the acupuncturist?
So it actually gives us a lot of information. I mean, besides the, so when we look at the body, like I was kind of saying earlier, we kind of look at the body of excess and deficiency. I don't think I used that word, those two words earlier, but we do. We kind of look at the body. And so when we feel the pulses, we're really looking for different things. We're looking at excesses and deficiencies, and we're kind of feeling for, you know, maybe you have a really rapid, full pulse. That's going to give us a lot of information versus somebody who has a very deep, weak pulse. And the way that we feel the pulses is with three fingers across that artery there. And in each position, in Chinese medicine, it kind of represents one of the five elements or one of the meridians that I was talking about earlier. And so we kind of correspond the way that the pulses are presenting to your meridian and your treatment. And so it gives us a lot of information actually about the separate meridians. And so we actually really take a ton of information from there because, you know, somebody might, and it also changes the way that we might treat somebody because if somebody has a really excess and full pulse, you know, they could probably take a stronger treatment as far as acupuncture goes. If someone has a really weak pulse, you know, we probably don't want to be moving because we also think of the chi or the energy as moving in the body. And if someone feels like there's really low energy and we're trying to move it, you know, that can wipe somebody out. That can make them feel a lot more tired after an acupuncture treatment.
Okay, so physical exam signs are very important to your treatment design.
Yes. Yep. Yep, yep, yep.
Okay, interesting. Hope that answered your question there, Sherry. I do have a call coming in. It looks like Janet is calling from Eagle River. Janet, welcome to Line 1.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. I have a question. I know you're talking about using acupuncture for pain, but I was in treatment for alcohol abuse disorder. Substance abuse disorder, and in treatment, I received acupuncture, and I found it really, really helped with my cravings and with my just my general well-being. And I wonder if your guest has had any experience with using acupuncture for substance abuse disorder.
It's an excellent question, Janet. Thank you very much for calling in, Rachel. Any thoughts for Janet?
Yes. Hi, Janet. Thank you. Yeah, I have treated people for substance abuse disorder, also smoking cessation, which I think mentioned earlier. Yeah, and it really does help a lot with that. And I can't really tell you exactly like the scientific way of why it's helping that, but I kind of bring it back to the autonomic nervous system, because you know, if we're self-medicating with alcohol or with any other substances, we're doing it for a reason, probably. And so I think how acupuncture can just help, it just helps in a subtle way and also in kind of a strong way too. So it's different for everyone. But I have definitely seen that acupuncture can successfully help in somebody's journey with quitting substances, including overeating or tobacco or, you know, anything else that somebody might be, you know, addicted to.
Sort of realigning, rebalancing is what the idea is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Excellent. Thank you, Janet, for your call. That was great. So Rachel, what's the safety profile of acupuncture? You know, for someone who says, I don't want to come in and get a bunch of needles stuck in me, like that sounds dangerous, or I'm going to get injured. What are the safety profiles involved in acupuncture?
So I will say that acupuncture is extremely safe. It doesn't mean that there's not any contraindications. There are certain points on the body that can cause a pneumothorax if you're not properly trained. And the other thing is you can have acupuncture with most medications, pretty much all medications, unless you can also get acupuncture on blood thinners. But if you're on a high amount of blood thinners, probably want to avoid it, but you could still talk to your doctor and acupuncturist. But I would say, aside from those two things, acupuncture is extremely safe. And I think that's one of the reasons why, you know, I really kind of fell in love with it, because it just helped me a lot and it was pretty non-invasive, you know, for the most part. And personally, I found that it actually felt really good.
Sure. So what's the difference? I was reading a little bit about dry needling versus some people who use electric stimulation. Maybe you can tell me a little bit about why you would use one or the other.
Okay. Dry needling kind of goes back to what I was talking about earlier, kind of releasing those trigger points, those muscular trigger points, and electrical stimulation actually kind of stimulates those meridians even more. And so if you think about the autonomic nervous system, it's kind of our electrical system of the body in a way. And I think the e-stim just kind of stimulates it even more. And so some people need that additional electrical stimulation on some of the meridians. And I would say, as far as acupuncture goes, when we use e-stim, it's gentle. It's not, you know, painful or anything like that. It's probably just an additional thing that we feel that you would need it, because maybe we feel like you need more movement. So it kind of goes back to those meridians where we can kind of evaluate and see if there's, you know, stuckness, so to speak, in those meridians. And maybe there's a high amount of stuckness in those meridians. And so then we would choose to use the e-stim to kind of gently stimulated more than just the needles. And we would hook those up to the needles themselves when we do that.
Okay. So that's interesting. Does that cause any other sensations for the patient? Is it more painful?
You know, it shouldn't be painful. It can be if you turn it up too high. But for me, I never want that to be painful, but it would feel different. You'd have a different sensation. You'd feel the little bit of buzzing, maybe a little bit of tapping on those points. And so, yeah, it is a little bit more, just a little bit more movement in those meridians. And so a big reason why we use e-stim is I use it a lot on like painful muscles that are probably like a good muscle tension or muscle knot, so to speak. And, you know, I might put some gentle eStim on that area if it doesn't feel like it's wanting to move or relax.
So how many needles, curious, would you typically put in a patient at a sitting? Like, I guess it depends on the different condition you're treating, but what would be an average?
I would say the average, and this is kind of a range between like 15 and 30 needles. And that also depends on the acupuncturist. So there might be an acupuncturist that uses less than 5 every time, but there might be an acupuncturist that uses like 20 every time. And so it does depend, you know, on the practitioner, how they're kind of reading your body. But I would say, yeah, around between 15 and 20 is around average.
Okay. And it would depend basically on what meridians you're using to treat.
Yeah. Yeah. And it sounds like a lot. And I think when you first come in, you're like, oh, you use this many. But then when you actually get the treatment, you realize if it's a real good tailored treatment to you, it feels good. So I wouldn't say that it matters so much about how many points the acupuncturist chooses to use. It's more about wanting you to feel better. And it's so individual.
Sure.
For each person.
Well, a couple emails here. One person wants to know about piercings and what happens if people have a piercing in the locations of a meridian. Can that affect things? Or I guess could that, one, take someone out of balance? Or two, like, how would you deal with a piercing in a location that you needed to treat?
So what I've observed and what I'm told is when there's a piercing on the skin, the actual acupuncture point, we would kind of go above it or around it. And so I guess as far as the meridian goes, some practitioners would say that getting a piercing is going to impinge on the chi flow, on the flow of your chi in your body. And then there's some practitioners that would say it doesn't matter. Your body kind of gets used to it after a while, and then your chi flow kind of goes around it. And that's kind of what I've observed, is that if someone has a piercing, it doesn't really affect their treatment at all, actually. And people who wanted to like pierce parts of their ears for a headache, for example, I think that was really popular. There was a meme that was going around about that. And I've seen mixed results with that as well. I do a technique in my clinic. They're kind of temporary acupuncture points. They're similar to piercings, but they will fall out and they don't leave a scar. Like, you can't see where they were or anything like that on the ear. But that's kind of a good way to see if somebody was really contemplating on getting a piercing, for example, for something like that. Maybe they could try that first, or that's what I tend to recommend. But yeah, I kind of think the acupuncture points just kind of go around. Just like if somebody has an amputation or something, you know, we still kind of just do the acupuncture, but we just kind of do it tailored to that person.
Got it. Now let's talk about insurance. Yeah. Because it's another common question is in you know, in our healthcare industry. You know, is this something that can be covered by insurance companies, or is this an out-of-pocket expense for most people?
Yeah, so I would say a lot of insurance companies, a majority of insurance companies, are starting to cover acupuncture because they're starting to realize the role that acupuncture can play for some people's health. And so I think that, yes, acupuncture is getting paid a lot more by insurance companies, and the VA pays for acupuncture now as well.
Okay. So government payers may start to cover it. What about Medicaid, Medicare?
Yeah. Medicare has started to, they started to add acupuncture, but it was only underneath a physician's, I don't know exactly the verbiage, but I don't know. There's not very many acupuncturists that actually work for an MD mm-hmm. in the same facility. And so I think the way that it's written right now for Medicare, it has to be either an acupuncturist or an MD that gives the person acupuncture. But if it's an acupuncturist, they have to be working underneath an MD. And that just isn't really, that's not really widely available right now. So hopefully, you know, maybe they change the policy a little bit differently so access can be a little bit better for those folks. But yeah. That's very, very new. I mean, that just happened like in the past couple of years.
So for the most part, in the last, since it's really become more and more popular, it's still an out-of-pocket expense for most people.
For a lot of people, yes.
Insurances are starting to cover it based on the evidence.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want to pigeonhole you here too much, but like, what would someone expect to sort of pay for this and in maybe a ballpark? Like, I don't want you to have to give a specific number to somebody, but like, what does a typical treatment cost?
I mean, right now, especially here in Alaska, typical treatments are fairly expensive. You know, you're looking at the very least, probably $100. But there are some community clinics. I believe there's a community clinic in Anchorage. And I would like to maybe pursue that in the future. But yeah, in the States, down in the lower 48, there's a lot more community clinics where people can get in a lot more easily. And I hope that we see that in Alaska, you know, in the future or in the near future, because yeah, it would be nice to see people gain more access, you know, to something that I feel is, you know, such an amazing quality of life treatment.
Yeah. So Rachel, we're about done here. If someone wanted to come talk with you, if someone wanted to you know, learn more about this or seek treatment, how would they do that with you?
You can go to my website or find me on my Facebook page at Midnight Sun Acupuncture. Or you can give me a call, 907-671-8177.
Fantastic. Well, it was a really great having you on the show today. I learned a lot about acupuncture and alternative medicines. I hope our listeners did too. Special thanks to you for being with us today. Thanks to our audio engineer, Chris Hyde, and our producer today, Tobin Shelby. You can find more information on this and previous programs on our website at alaskapublic.org. Let us know your thoughts or suggestions by emailing us at line1@alaskapublic.org. This has been Line One, Your Health Connection. I'm your host, Dr. Justin Clark. Stay healthy, Alaska.
Line One is a production of Alaska Public Media, which is solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are those of the host and participants and not necessarily those of Alaska Public Media, this station, or its underwriters. Learn more about Line One and listen online at alaskapublic.org. This is Alaska Public Media.